everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. And folks know I'm somewhat of a weather hobbyist, Tom, and what's happening in the North Pacific is unbelievable. Will be only the second time a typhoon hits part of Alaska, the Aleutian Islands. And people are saying, well, okay, it's a long way away. But guess what? It is going to throw the jet stream all out of whack. California will get rain, which is really good, and maybe put out, extinguish some of the fires. But Tom, the jet is going to be changing around, dipping all the way down into Arizona.
That's the jet stream, not the typhoon.
The typhoon. No, the
the
typhoon
is just going to be up in the Aleutians.
The typhoon is going to hit the Aleutians.
But it's going to affect the jet stream.
It will affect the jet stream. Yes, you're exactly right. And when it hits the Aleutians, they're saying the waves will be four stories high and winds of 80 to 90 miles an hour are possible. So it's kind of a weird kind of weather story. Anyway, it's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. It's Wednesday, September the 14th, 2022. It's KVOI 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. All of our podcasts conveniently cataloged for you over the past almost 12 full years at buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, which we'll do at 12:30, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Time for our quarterly Tucson International Airport Air Service Update. Dave Hatfield is with me in studio, Senior Director of Air Service Development at the Tucson Airport Authority. And Dave, in just 2.5 months, Tucson International lives up to its name, truly becomes an international airport, as low-cost Edmonton, Alberta-based Flair Airlines starts flying to 6 Canadian cities. And these are nonstop.
Yes, yep. Absolutely.
You don't have to change plane anywhere. You can go Tucson right up north.
Right. Yep. No stopping. It's 4 hours and you're in Canada.
This is a really big deal for Tucson, isn't it?
Oh, we think so, obviously. We're very, very excited. We're getting our customs facility, Federal Inspection Services facility all spruced up, and we're going to put it back into use again. And it's a wonderful opportunity, not just for the airport, but for our whole community, because it is going to bring Canadians down here for the wintertime, and they can enjoy what we enjoy. And it's opening up a whole new segment of the world. In fact, for 5 of those 6 cities, I believe Tucson will be the only international flight they'll have from their local airports.
So wow.
It's terrific.
So most of them, let's see, the flight to Edmonton is going to be twice weekly.
Twice weekly, yes.
Beginning November the 30th.
Yes.
And then there is also a twice weekly service from Fort McMurray,
right,
up in northern Alberta, also known as Fort McMoney. that's up in the oil shale,
yes,
fields. And a lot of those workers are going to take leave,
yes,
down in Tucson.
Yes. It is really interesting. Probably the coolest part of this whole thing is getting to know people from the Canadian airports. The Fort McMoney thing was actually something we heard from Carol Stewart out at the tech,
yeah,
parks.
Yeah,
she's Canadian. And
yeah,
she says that's the reputation. And We were a quick story. We were talking to some people from the from Fort McMurray, and they said, "I hope you folks are ready for our customers from up here." And I said, "What do you mean?" And
the roughnecks are coming.
He says, "A lot of our folks here, they're making a lot of money,
yeah,
and they spend it on things like big brand new pickup trucks. They all drive $80,000 pickup trucks.
Wow!
And they will come into your bar," and we were down at Club Congress, and
yeah,
he said that, you know, you look up at the top shelf of the bar and our folks are probably gonna, they spend their money and they're gonna probably order it,
yeah.
And I said, "So what's the matter with that? I'm sure our, what,
yeah,
we're gonna like." And he says, "Well, you know what happens when the bartender says, well, how do you want to drink it? They're liable to say with Diet Coke." And I said, you know what? We don't care.
No, and they may just say, just bring me the whole bottle.
Exactly.
So. And you mentioned Carol. I think she's from London, Ontario.
Yes, yes.
And London, Ontario is one of the cities that will be served. That's going to be Monday departures. That's a college town. I've been in London, Ontario, a beautiful place. So I would imagine that service will do well.
Yes. We've already heard good things from London, Ontario.
Yep.
We've heard, Fort McMurray is doing well, and Windsor, which is in also in Ontario, but it's also right across the river from Detroit. So if you need to go to Detroit, this is a nonstop flight to essentially Detroit. I mean, it's nine miles from
Windsor Airport over the bridge. Into Detroit. So this is really a great opportunity for Tucsonans who want to go nonstop. And Flair Airlines is using their brand new 737s.
Yes. Gorgeous. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice planes.
Yeah. They bought a lot of them when we first started talking. They were wondering where they were going to put them, and they were going to put them here. And they've become so successful that they've actually placed another order, and they're now taking delivery on some more. Flair Airlines, for people who don't know it, it's the first independent Canadian airline. I mean, in a low-cost airline. I mean, if you're familiar with Canadian airlines are different from ours. And they have an ultra-low-cost carrier called Swoop, but it's owned by WestJet. And then there's one, I think, called Jazz that's owned by Air Canada. So they're all... Almost all of the airlines there.
The lineage is all back to Air Canada. Then WestJet came along about 15, 20 years ago, kind of billing itself as a low-cost airline. But the lineage has always been connected now, anyway, to those two.
Right.
Now, Flair is new to this.
Flair is brand new. It's different. It's separate ownership. It's all independent. I mean, there are independent airlines up there, but they're like little regional airlines up in the northern part. But this will be the first one. And in fact, another real quick story that talking about London, back during the pandemic, I was going to take the family on a family trip to a Disney property, grandkids and everything. And it didn't happen, but they let me keep the credits. So I've had credits and I needed to use them. And I finally set it up to use them. Actually, we're not going to Disney, but they let me use them someplace else. And we were finalizing the deal, and I asked the lady, I said, "You're in Canada, aren't you?" And she says, "Oh, yes, our company's headquartered in Canada." I said, "Where in Canada are you?" And she said, "London." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Oh, I work at an airport in Arizona, and we just got a new Canadian airline." She says, "Oh, I bet it's Flair. They are so wonderful," because she was from Western Canada.
Sure.
And for the fares that Flair is offering, she says, "I can fly home 3 or 4 times a year, whereas under the old airlines, I was lucky to do it once or twice."
So. Yeah. Well, for Tucsonans, maybe they're listening, maybe if you're retired and you want to take a quick trip, have some fun at a really low cost. I mean, introductory fares as low as under $30 each way.
$29.95.
Yeah. Yes. And we're talking about Edmonton, Alberta, and Fort McMurray, Lethbridge, Alberta, which is south of Calgary, close to Waterton National Park. We mentioned London, Ontario, and then kind of a place that our friend Tom Fairbanks knows about, because Tom used to work up in Alaska, and he went through Prince George, BC, a lot.
Yes.
But Tom, you never went up there in the wintertime, did you? Because
you name the season, I have been through Western Canada in any season that you name.
Well, you're ready with the ice highway, right?
Right, exactly.
And during the winter, you can always tell where some of the large cities are, because the ice fog would be lit up by the city lights.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be like a cloud over the horizon. It's all lit up, and you say, "Oh yeah, there, Prince George is over there."
Yeah. So any skiers too, anybody that wants to really have a winter kind of wonderland, this would be a great opportunity for Tucsonans.
It's amazing what space you're talking about up there. You talk about Tom going to Alaska. Mm-hmm. And to show you how ill-informed I was early on in this thing, I was talking to somebody at the Prince George Airport, and she said, "Yeah, we're about halfway. We're on the main road from Washington to Alaska,
right.
and she said a lot of people stop here, and I said, "Oh, they spend the night there." And for some reason, I had it in my mind that it was like
one night,
and you're on the way down. She said, "Oh no,
it's a week.
It's a week."
Yeah, it's a long haul. That is on the Alaskan Highway.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's pause right here with Dave Hatfield, and Senior Director of Air Service Development for the Tucson Airport Authority. So anything else before we go on after this, Dave, about Flair Airlines? And where can people find out more? What would be the best way?
Well, we'll start with our website, because
okay.
we have a direct link to the Buy from Tucson Flair link mm-hmm. right on our homepage, and or check their website, Flair Airlines.
All right. I want to talk about my favorite bakery right now, Dave. That's Mona's Danish Bakery. You know Mona's?
Yes, absolutely.
Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast, 6:30. Tuesday through Saturday, 7 a.m. on Sunday. They are closed Monday, but they do a fantastic breakfast, and they do a great lunch as well. So stop by if you're in the area. Their website will tempt you even more, because they've got beautiful color pictures of all of the menu items at monasdanishbakery.com. Matt is with us on the live line. Tom, can we take Matt so he doesn't have to sit through the break? Matt, you're with Dave Hatfield from the Tucson International Airport. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, first, congratulations, Dave. It's very exciting to hear about all the Canadians coming down, and hopefully the bars will stock up with the good stuff.
Yes.
Hey, the PFAS issue, you know, it's been something that, you know, has been ongoing now a little while here in Tucson. You know, the airport authority shares land with the Air National Guard, I gather, possibly, in some areas where some of the affected PFAS situation occurred. Have you at all, you know, discussed with Tucson, the city of Tucson Water, or the city of Tucson about how to basically check your guys' area as well? For PFAS contamination.
Okay.
And just the whole PFAS subject, are you guys tracking on it? Thank you. Bye.
Okay. We're talking PFAS, the
exactly.
contaminants were used.
Yeah. I know the airport is aware of it. To be honest with you, my job keeps me busy. I know it's there. I haven't inquired very much about it because I'm not directly involved. But the airport is very aware of it, and I'm unfortunately I can't shed a lot of light on it because I just don't know.
It's not really your area, is it?
Exactly.
Your area is to get more nonstop service into Tucson, and I think you've been pretty darn successful. That was a huge win with Flair Airlines. We'll be back with Dave Hatfield right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing is Zocalo Village Studio. Once a quarter, we bring in Dave Hatfield, who is the Senior Director of Air Service Development.
Are you emphasizing senior for a particular reason?
Oh, I know. I probably should have emphasized. I don't want to say the elderly director.
No.
Certainly not, or older director. No. Anyway, Dave, it works with Air Service Development at Tucson International Airport. And we're talking about, we're talking in the first segment about upcoming nonstop flights to Canada, which is really exciting. But there are a lot of flights that it is the season.
It is.
Dave Hatfield. And we do have the numbers are looking better, almost back to pre-pandemic levels of 2019.
Finally, yes. Mm-hmm. This is our time of the year. The sun shines in Tucson all winter, and the airlines know that, and people want to come here, and we want to welcome them, and so the airlines are adding flights back into their schedules, and we have really some great things. We suffered a little bit over the summer, because this is not a destination in the summertime, even though we want to get out of here.
Yeah, we want to go the other way.
Yeah, exactly. So, but no, we have lots of upgrades. Chicago has been a hard place to get to most of the summer. We've had one flight a day. We'll be back to our three flights a day. And by the end of this month, actually, United's been off the route all summer due to their pilot shortages. And so they're bringing it back at the end of September, September 30th. So United will be an option, along with two flights on American. Actually, even Southwest is going to start adding a little bit more back to their midway route, too. Right now, they're only on the weekends, but hopefully they'll bring that back.
And so United goes to three daily nonstops up to SFO in San Francisco,
yes,
October 1st.
Right.
So American steps up their service as well now, not only to Chicago, but over to their hub at DFW.
Yeah, DFW is big. Actually, Tucsonans are flying to Phoenix to connect in bigger numbers than they've ever done before. And actually, for people who think that they don't want to do the connection flight, you might check the fares and check the speed because it takes you 2 hours to drive up to Phoenix pretty much, plus you got parking and all that. Whereas they can get you up there, connect you in Phoenix, and get you on your way. Plus, you don't have to go to Phoenix if you don't want to.
No, it's interesting to see how the fare compares to Phoenix nonstop out of Sky Harbor compared to if you go Tucson, Phoenix to then your destination. Mm-hmm. Often it's less out of Tucson.
Right. And we actually, I always thought that it was the fare, but as you point out, it can often be less. Mm-hmm. And we've actually done some research that if you take 2 hours as the gauge for driving up to Phoenix versus a connecting time that's under 2 hours, you can actually get to there's over 310 destinations where the connection from Tucson, it actually your flying time to get there versus driving to Phoenix would be shorter.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine who lives here but works in London and has to go back, I think, quarterly, I had to ask her. I said, so, in fact, I didn't realize I was calling her in London this weekend when I did, but I said, so how do you get there? And she says, oh, I usually go, I said, do you fly up to Phoenix and take the nonstop from Phoenix? Mm-hmm. She says, oh, no. She said, I would if I could, but that's an expensive flight.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Tucson has so many options through Dallas. That's what I do. And it's much cheaper to fly from Tucson over to London than it is to go up to Phoenix.
Yeah. That's an expensive flight. You're right. That's nonstop British Airways flight. Great service, though, if you can afford it on BA.
Yeah.
Alaska Airlines, this is always popular, and we wish, please, Alaska, make this a year-round flight to Portland, Oregon. We went over to the Central Oregon coast a couple of weeks ago, and we flew through Medford. We've done Medford in the past. We flew up through Eugene for the first time. It would have been so nice if we could have gone into Portland. But anyway, it was. I'd never been to Eugene, and it's only about an hour over to the Central Coast.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't want to get your hopes up, but looking at the long-range schedules, Alaska has, as of today... is keeping the Portland flight on its schedule through next summer.
Good.
They're also, and I sort of hate to bring this up because is the Payne Field flight, which is suspended right at the moment. It's coming back. It's due to come back in April, but they are also planning to keep that here through the summer.
Good.
So knock on wood, that sticks, and we don't have any more problems with pilot shortages and stuff like that. So, but those are two positive signs. But Alaska's coming back.
Delta is beefing up their service. They're adding a third daily flight to Atlanta, and they've been using some big aircraft that. And that's a very comfortable flight. Gets you in there in about 4 hours from Tucson. Delta also resumes daily nonstop flights up to Minneapolis, St. Paul, December 17th. And so they're adding... So they have three daily flights then to Atlanta.
Yes. Atlanta is a huge market for them. Obviously, it's the world's busiest airport. And the traffic from Tucson has responded. And so they're adding their largest single aisle airplane on that route. And you can just fly over there three times a day and connect all up and down the Eastern Seaboard and to Europe, so that'll be great. And then Minneapolis is coming. We also have Sun Country coming back to Minneapolis. They actually come back I believe it's December 8th.
Yep.
A little earlier than Delta, but they're the low cost carrier to Minneapolis. So our friends from Minneapolis will be able to get down here easier than they have in the last couple of years.
Think about your holiday travel. Folks be looking for bargains, but don't expect really any.
Yeah. The airlines have gotten pretty sophisticated about how they do that. I mean, everybody's got some old story they heard.
Thanksgiving morning, they would say, Thanksgiving is the lowest flight cost.
The trouble is the airlines are wise to this, and they are more sophisticated than ever before. Yes, Thanksgiving is a very slow travel day, but now they fly fewer planes. I mean, it's sort of like we talk about six flights a day to Dallas-Fort Worth on a normal day. On that Thursday, there's two. So the airlines have adjusted the capacity downward. So the fare doesn't go down because they can still fill the capacity, even if it is less.
One final word, and we'll also pick up on this when we see you in December. Real ID, compliant ID, going through TSA. That date to remember is May 3rd of next year. You got to get your real ID.
Yes, make sure you can do it. You can here in Arizona. It's real easy to do. Mm-hmm. Arizona, the Motor Vehicle Division has it all set up. You need to give them your Social Security numbers plus some other ID things. It's a great thing to have. They've done a wonderful job at getting the word out, but we just don't want anybody showing up to the airport on May 3rd, 2023. Mm-hmm. And not being able to get through security. So if you haven't gotten your real ID yet and you intend to fly, it's now's a good time before there's any last minute crush. It only takes about 15 days, they say, and they can get it back to you. But if there's a crush, who knows?
All right. Dave Hatfield, again, your website. Thank you. Always a pleasure. What's the website?
FlyTucson.com. And in fact, if you want some more information about the real ID thing, it's on that page. Just scroll down to the bottom. There's a little place you can click to get more information.
A link over to Flair Airlines. So everything we've talked about all the new service that's coming on, all sorts of travel information there, Dave Hatfield.
Yep, you bet.
Dave, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, Bill. Always a pleasure.
Take a break right here. Be right back with Paul Cunningham.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, our go-to place for everything that will make your garden look just sparkling and full of color. great 13-acre site over at 3384 East River Road. They have everything you could possibly need for the garden, all sorts of accessories at beautiful Talavera pottery from Mexico, and that's their sister business, Zocalo Village, where they have some beautiful handcrafted dining room sets. Some of that work is done right here in Tucson out of Mesquite. Just really beautiful items at Zocalo Village. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Green Things, over 50 years in business here in Tucson. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, and we are going to go on the live line now for our monthly visit with the Ward 2 Tucson City Councilman, Democrat Paul Cunningham. Paul, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Paul, I want to talk a little bit about yesterday's study session, talking about the crime rate in Tucson, also talking about the homelessness situation. Could you kind of give us, bring our listeners up to date? What went on?
So, I mean, we had a big public safety item. And, you know, what we're finding out is all the things happening in Tucson are happening all over. What we're finding out is that there's challenges that are specific to Tucson and then challenges that are universal to cities like ours. And finally, we found out that the way that policing and public safety, law enforcement, and community safety is addressed in any community is being retooled, is being rethought in city after city around the country. This is post-pandemic. This is post George Floyd. There's all kinds of different reasons. And, you know, any transition can be difficult, but it can be for the good. And then we've talked about a challenge that's not specific to Tucson, but maybe the severity could be, it could be interpreted that way, which was staffing. So we talked about all those things. And one thing we learned was that though crime had a banner year in 2021, and it's no secret that happened, our five-year violent crime totals are down, and our five-year property crime down totals are down like 14%, but our gun crime totals are up. And so you're kind of just processing that information. That was reported by the chief yesterday. The other thing that we found out yesterday is that we have a much more visible and prominent unsheltered population in Tucson. And that isn't something that's just specific to Tucson. That's an issue that we're seeing all over, but it's an issue just the same. It's a challenge that Tucsonans have to meet just the same. So we're going through that discussion. And one of the things that we brought up was unsheltered. And the issue with unsheltered is that, and I've said this on this show in the past, and that is that we have folks that are unsheltered. And let's remember that we all have friends and relatives that have come through hard times, and they're unsheltered today. And the question is what are they going to be tomorrow? We have to figure that out. We have to go in with that mindset. If you don't have that mindset, then you're not really solving anything. And so the goal is to make a person who's unsheltered sheltered. And how do we get them there? But we can't just do it for them. We want to empower them a little bit so they're kind of doing it for themselves. And it's a hard line to walk. So we're going to have a plan out of Ward 2 that I kind of touched on yesterday that we're going to roll out in the next, you know, 3 to 4 weeks or so. And we spent some time on this trying to figure out how do we have a continuum where there's something for everybody. You know, some people are homeless because they had some domestic violence issues in their home, or they're coming out of a poor relationship. Some people are unsheltered or couch hopping, where they're not actually what's called street homeless, but they're living from residence to residence under the hospitality and graciousness of friends. Some people are homeless because of addiction issues or mental health issues. Some people are unsheltered because they're in a situation where they are holding down a job and actually pretty functional, but they either got into some financial issues because they missed a few days of work, or they got sick, or they were evicted and they can't seem to find a place they can afford. And so we have all these different reasons why we've got folks out there that are living unsheltered. And we've got to have a program that kind of addresses all of them and meets them where they are. And it's really hard to coordinate something like that. The crazy thing is that we have pieces to all those programs. We do have an eviction respite program. And we have three or four different agencies doing small ones, but it's really not as concerted as we'd want it to be. It's a little disjointed, but not horribly disjointed. They all know about each other, but they're not in concert sometimes. We do have several different homeless shelters. They all cater to a different group of people on where they are in their unsheltered area. Some cater to veterans, some cater to people who are trying to get sober. Some people cater to folks who are mentally ill. Yesterday I met a man who is living in his car, and I talked to him, and we're going to try to get him a spot. He's already receiving benefits. He's 67 years old. He's already receiving Social Security benefits. There's no way that guy should be on the street. So we've got to figure out how to help each person where they are and work with the different reasons that they're unsheltered, but also take an inventory of the resources that they have, because some of them have resources and they're just not kind of aligning up. There's just no alignment to it. So I think that was what our discussion really drove yesterday. We also talked about how the community safety piece and the 311, which is our new 911 secondary call center, is going to launch, and that's going to help. You know, one of the things I said yesterday was not all 911 calls are quote unquote 911 calls, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Sometimes someone calls 911 because they just need someone to talk to. Sometimes they call 911 because they're worried about something, but they really don't know what they're worried about.
Yeah.
Anxiety. Well, that's not necessarily an emergency, but if we don't respond to that person and let them discuss what's on their mind, we could have it escalate into another situation. So we're trying to be able to organize those calls a little better. And, you know, our police officers are there to keep people safe. They're there to be police officers. They're not necessarily there to be social workers. Though, if you've ever gone out with our police officers on a shift, and I'd invite, as I've said on the show before, many people to go out with our patrol folks at least one night and see all the communication skills and patience and work it takes in order just to de-escalate situations or try to find out what's going on or find people that you need to help and work with them. But all of a sudden, that beep's going off and that radio's going off and you've got to get to the next call. It's not as easy as it looks, I promise. And so we've got to have an ability for formally trained social workers to be able to respond and kind of make some immediate open that case with some immediacy and have them into a system so we can, at least with immediacy, see if we can develop case plans that can help people progress. So that was what we discussed yesterday. It's not anything that anybody hasn't said we should do before, but there's really never been that full court press drive to get it all done and aligned. And I think it's where we are now. And I think Tucson's going to be a national leader as we keep developing our process.
So the 311 system, it will be a 24/7 deal. Folks can call. When does that come online?
We're hoping mid-October. I think we're going to be testing it, and we're going to have it available for certain things in the next month or two, in the next couple weeks. But it will just be to kind of test out the system. I think they said we're looking at going online in October, maybe early November. And again, it's something that you don't know because you don't know when you're ready. You don't know when you're fully staffed. You don't know what the call volume is going to be. And so we're trying to be as prepared as possible to get it online.
All right, let's go to Wayne, who called us online, too. We'll try to get Wayne in here before the break. Wayne, you're with Paul Cunningham. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks a lot. Paul, I was wondering if you could just give me a little information on the new idea with the Section 8 housing. The council, I think, passed a rule that you couldn't discriminate for source of income, and I'm all for that. But I understand the city does an inspection for Section 8, and they also have an appraiser that determines how much is the rent should be. How is the homeowner on the hook for that particular opinion of value?
So from what I understand, I think that's more collaborative. And I'm pretty sure that the Section 8 piece goes into – yeah, that's part of the Section 8 process if you sign up as a landlord to do Section 8. Not every single person who has a rental has to sign up to be Section 8. The only thing that we're asking is that if someone's receiving a voucher, which means that the rental holder, is taking that voucher, that they take it, with the price agreed on by the landlord. In other words, Section 8 isn't going to come in and tell you how much you should be able to charge or whatever. What we're asking is if someone's receiving a voucher and they're on, say, disability or benefits or anything like that, and they're trying to rent and they're not given their apartment because their source of income is not from working, that we'd ask that be reconsidered. But we're not going to force landlords to have to enroll into the Section 8 program, and we're certainly not going to tell them what they have to set their rent at. That's how I understand that. If you are in the Section 8 program as a landlord, that's different. But if you're just taking a voucher, that's, I think, the disconnect between the law there.
Okay. Thank you, Wayne, for the question, calling us on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Paul Cunningham, stick around. We'll come back to you after we take a break right after this.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great getaway. It's midday. Temperature over there looks really inviting to me. 75 degrees. Things have really greened up after the summer rainy season. As we now transition into autumn in the land of enchantment, it'd be a great weekend getaway for you. It's only about a three-hour drive. You can find out, and I hope you will, about all the things to do and some great places to stay. All that information is on their website, which is southwestnewmexico.org, for everything you need to know about Silver City. All right, let's go back now on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Paul Cunningham is with us, the Ward 2 Tucson City Councilman. Paul, there was a Reed Park Reimagined kind of a listening event this past weekend, I believe. Do you know how it went?
I'm under the impression the response is pretty positive. Again, there's a lot of stakeholders near Reed Park who worked hard in the process. One of the things that seems that there's a little bit of backlash or blowback or whatever you want to call it. I wouldn't call it backlash or blowback, because I think they've been very constructive. If the baseball community came forth and said, you know, that's the only senior level or high school field level quad. And a quad is a series of where there's four baseball fields all backed up to each other with a tower in the middle. It's where you can have clinics and tournaments and multiple games at once, and it's a baseball quad. That's the only quad we have with 90-foot bases, which is a full-size field in the city of Tucson. And so the baseball folks, the Tucson Men's League, and the high school baseball coaches, and some of the people who organized the college tournament that was there last year, kind of said, hey, wait a minute, are you guys sure about this, about getting into the quad? We're not really going to be in support of that. We really can't be. It's, you know, we just had a tournament last year with some 30 or 40 community college teams. Some, I think there's some 1,800 practices and games. Do I have that right? 900 practices or games on that quad per year. And so, the Korean baseball folks use that quad. So we may have to kind of revisit that and have that discussion. But for the most part, the other things have been received with nothing but positive feedback, and it looks like we've got a real opportunity to make a special sense of place in Tucson. But we're really going to have to take a look at the baseball.
How about that extra $150 million that the city has to spend? How have you decided to spend that, or has that not been determined?
Oh, gee whiz, that's a great soundbite, isn't it? $150 million, a lot of it. So let's start with, there's two types of money. There's one-time money and there's ongoing money. And when, you know, you say you have a surplus of $150 million, that's a lot of that is one-time money. That's money you can spend, but you won't have it next year. And then there's surplus money that's ongoing, where you can project out, you know, through fiscal year 22, 23, 24, 25, how much more you're going to have. That number is much less. That number is probably a much shorter amount, probably under 30 million or even less than that. So let's start with that. I think a lot of those things are going to be into capital improvements. I think a lot of those things are going to be into investing in equipment, resources. We're going to invest in equipment, resources, capital improvements, and streets and roads. Things that, you know, construction type things that cost one time. So that's what the majority of that surplus is going to be at. We more or less spread it around. We kind of kicked it up where we had gaps in the 407 money that went to law enforcement and roads, and we tried to fill those gaps. We had gaps in the 411 money that's going to go to parks. And we tried to fill those gaps in places where maybe we couldn't get everything we wanted to done with the finite amount of money we had, or we were looking at a projected shortfall in cash due to inflation and materials and resources, and we were able to plug those gaps. With that, I think we're on the right track of getting the blocking and tackling done, which is to help us with our staffing issues in the different departments we have staffing, as well as getting us to once over just about every single residential street within 10 years. Also, I think we're going to try to continue the pavement preservation part, which is laying down oil in our major thoroughfares on the roads that have been recently reconstructed. And finally, remaking all the parks to the level in which we remade Jesse Owens Park in 2018. And I think if we keep doing those things, those are our core services under our charter. That's our blocking and tackling. It doesn't get you headlines. It doesn't sell tickets. It's not sexy, if you will, but it's the work we do.
All right. Before we let you go, and I've only got about 2 minutes with you, we had quite an extensive conversation, a lot of phone participation Friday when Nikki Lee, your colleague on the council, was our Friday focus interview, and we spent most of the interview, about a half-hour interview with her, talking about water and ways that the city is going to have to reimagine, speaking of reimagining how we conserve water. Would you like to see some a public service announcement kind of blitz go on here as we really need to roll out some water conservation reminders to people?
But remember, with some of the things we have in place, specifically with rainwater xeriscaping your yards and moving from grass to turf, I think we're going to have an amazing – I think we've done a lot of a lion's share of that work. We are light years ahead of so many other communities who are just so far behind us. So I mean, I don't want to toot our horn on that, but we've been really hardcore about the water. If you look at our water usage per capita, if you look at the slash and burn situation we're going to have when we deadpool Lake Mead, which is inevitably going to happen unless the Department of Interior steps in and stops California from what it's doing, we're going to be able to absorb our hits. It's the other communities in Arizona. It's Imperial County, California. They're the ones that are in deep, deep trouble. So I think we'll continue our public service announcements, but Tucson has put itself in a very healthy water situation. We just want to keep on track and make sure we're doing the next right thing. I have an old friend, and he passed away during COVID, and he used to remind me all the time, just do the next right thing. And that's what I think of when it comes to water conservation.
All right. The next right thing for you is to get back to school, right, for this afternoon.
Parent-teacher conferences, Bill. Parent-teacher conferences. I'm all ready.
Okay. Paul Cunningham, always a pleasure. Thank you, Paul, and we'll check in with you soon. Thanks a lot.
Bill, thanks for having me on. Have a great day and a great weekend.
Thank you very much. Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, as we wrap up the Wednesday midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. I'll be ready in about 23 hours to do it again. And I think Tom will be as well. Tom Fairbanks, steady as she goes, Captain, on the other side of the glass. Be glad, Tom, you're not up in Alaska as the typhoon is about to hit. All right. Have a great day, everybody.